I can't think of a more uncomfortable portrayal of Jesus than the one before us this morning. First, Jesus and his disciples appear to ignore a desperate woman, answering her pleas for mercy with silence. The disciples seem annoyed by the woman's persistence, and they urge Jesus to send her away. When Jesus finally does answer her, he replies that he was, quote, only sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, meaning that his priority is to save the Israelites. This woman is a Gentile. And then he compares the woman and her tormented daughter to a dog. Amazingly, she remains undeterred and doesn't give up until Jesus has healed her daughter. Although Jesus finally does heal this woman's daughter, his persona in this passage seems to contradict everything that we know about him. Why didn't he help this desperate woman right away? Why did he compare her to a dog? Scholars have bent over backwards in attempts to prove that Jesus' words weren't actually all that demeaning given the time and the place in which they occur. For example, some commentaries argue that the word dog should be translated as little dog or puppy, which would somehow lessen the blow of the insult to this person. Regardless of how you choose to translate dog, I don't think that there's an easy way to get around the discomfort before us. The fact is, the Canaanite was a woman, a human being, and a child of God, just like you and me. And she was begging for mercy. And she was made to beg like a dog, in a culture that does not feel the same way about dogs that most of us probably feel about dogs. We don't know that much about her. She makes this singular and brief appearance in Matthew's gospel, and then she quickly fades out of the picture. We do know that she was a parent of at least one child, that she was desperate for healing for her troubled daughter, and that she was a Canaanite, which is a scriptural term for ancient Israel's pagan enemies. So she knew Jesus had power, and she'd probably heard a rumor that he could heal. She likely left things undone in her life to seek this healing for her child. She may have left behind other children and family members and the demands of her household. To be sure, this mother, spurred on by a type of powerful love, would seem to stop at nothing to get healing for her child. Just like the Canaanite woman, Jesus was also a person of his time. He was a first century Jew born into a world of discrimination and prejudice and deep need. And Jesus was both fully God and fully human. Matthew really lets us see that Jesus is human as well as God. In Matthew's gospel, we see Jesus show emotion. We know Jesus got angry at the money changers in the temple and flipped those tables over. We know that he wept at the death of his friend. And perhaps this day he was tired and his fuse was short. But even within their brief conversation, it seems like this woman changes Jesus' mind. This mother who puts it all on the line to save the life of her child showed a love that has no bounds. It's a similar type of love that Jesus would show all of us at the end of his life. We too are a people of our time, born into this world of discrimination and prejudice and deep need. I think we all have our own perceptions and instincts about who does and who doesn't deserve mercy. It's sort of embedded into each of our hearts, even when we try to shake it. That word deserve is a powerful word. The daughter of this Canaanite woman received healing simply by nature of being loved by a fearless parent, and but being loved by this fearless parent who knelt at the feet of this miraculous God. This daughter didn't do anything to deserve the mercy, the healing. Like this woman's daughter, we all too deeply need mercy and healing in our lives, in our bodies, in our minds and hearts, in the world around us. Sometimes we perceive that there's not enough to go around. We might perceive that there's not enough time or money or resources. anxiety about scarcity. It's anxiety. It dominates our culture. And these laws of supply and demand that control things can control also so much of our behavior too. But none of that translates into the way that God deals with mercy, the way that God distributes mercy. Thank God, because the truth is that we're all human. We all need mercy. And we also all have been given, miraculously, the capacity to deal it freely to one another. How cool is that? Jesus did give mercy freely at the end of his own short life. His own phrase to this woman that he was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, it would include this ever-expanding crowd of people. Right after Jesus healed this Canaanite woman's daughter, he continued through that same land, through the district of Tyre and Sidon, which is a seedy place. You might think of it as sort of like a red light district. Some of those people there were probably considered undeserving of mercy. We know they were. The next sequence describes how, quote, crowds came to him with the lame, the maimed, the blind, the mute, and many others. They put them at his feet, and he cured them. Jesus came for all. Jesus has mercy for all, with no exceptions. The healing that Jesus bestowed on this woman's daughter is also our story. Jesus has reached into each and every one of our lives with his grace. He comes after each one of us with that same fearless and pesky persistence that the Canaanite mother showed for her daughter. When we come to Jesus' feet asking for healing and it's delayed or denied, that ache is so real. And we don't know why we still wait for it sometimes. In that great pause, while we beg and wait for mercy in our own lives and in the world, we have to hold on to that resurrection hope. There is bountiful, indiscriminate, and abundant mercy for each and every single one of us. And it's free, with no exceptions.